You are listening to American Warrior Radio. I'm John Esslinger, and I'm your host today. Ben Bueller's taking the day off for a special mission. This broadcast of American Warrior Radio is generously supported by Budweiser and their campaign to support the Folds of Honor Foundation. Folds of Honor provides educational scholarships to families of American fallen and wounded soldiers. To learn more and join us in this effort to stand with Folds of Honor, visit your favorite tavern, restaurant, grocery, or convenience store this summer and look for the Budweiser display. I'm John Esslinger, your guest host, filling in for Ben Bueller Garcia. And again, our number to call in is 520-751-1041, and we welcome your calls. Give it your best was the motto to encourage civilians to contribute to the success of military fighting in World War II. If it hadn't been for those civilians and their contribution, World War II would have been a lost cause. As in World War II, the U.S. military is in an international effort to support freedom around the world now. We have us a guest on the line, and Chris, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. How you doing, John?
Well, I'm just happy to be anywhere, Chris. How about you?
Roger that. Me too. I'm sitting on my swing enjoying some of this beautiful Vail Tucson weather.
Well, hey, I heard a rumor that you're headed off to climb the highest mountain in North America, Denali, or Mount McKinley. And
yes,
I've flown around that thing a couple of times, and I got to tell you, I'm impressed. And tell us a little bit about this, but first I want to hear about the reaction when you first told the guides you wanted to climb this thing, and you have no experience in climbing nothing but stairs.
Yes, sir. I actually... yeah, that's when I first set the goal. My goal was to climb Mount Everest, so I kind of the thought slipped in my mind, and I turned to my fiance and I said, Samantha, I'm going to climb Mount Everest, and it was kind of spur of the moment type thing. And she said, okay, and she walked over to my chalkboard with my goals, wrote it on the list of goals for me, and said, I guess you're climbing Mount Everest. And so I Googled the best climb companies, the best guides to take you up Everest. I called into Alpine Ascents and told them I wanted to get on the first trip out to Mount Everest. And they asked me about my climbing experience. And I said, well, I've never really climbed a mountain before, but I think I'm okay. I'll be okay by then. Throw me on the crew, and I'll be fine. And they basically laughed me off the phone and said, you got to get some training under your belt before you can tackle the highest mountain in the world. So that led me to Mount Rainier, where I did a 10-day training, climbed Mount Baker, Mount Erie, Mount Rainier, and then flew back again for some more training with my friend Gina and Chuck and some other people from the crew, and we did Mount Rainier again, and then I got signed off to do Denali, with the biggest mountain in North America. So I'll be leaving for Denali on the 16th, head to Anchorage, take a plane to Talkeetna, and then start hiking up on the 18th.
Well, we're going to be watching this, and I'll be happy to watch it from my my comfortable chair on in the TV.
Yes,
tell us why you're doing this.
Well, obviously it was a personal goal, like I was saying, but I'm using it to raise funds for the Arizona Fisher House, which I know you guys are big supporters of as well. But I'm using it to raise funds. People are pledging per foot at my website, www.housesfortroops.com/Fisher House. And I'm using it really twofold to raise awareness for the Fisher House, so the people that need to use it know about it when that time comes, and also to raise money for them guys, because they're doing great things for our vets and their families. And it's a program that we need to keep going and take care of and really support.
Well, on behalf of American Warrior Radio and Ben Bueller Garcia, we wish you the best. Godspeed, and somewhere along the way, happy contrails. And
yes,
check
sir.
In with
yes.
us when you get a chance.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. If you go to Facebook and go to A Penny Per Foot, we'll be checking in on our way up the mountain via sat phone, so you'll get updates as we move on. And then if you want to make a pledge or you want to show your support, please go to www.housesfortroops.com/Fisher House, and I'll give you all a holler when I get home.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for your call, and we'll be hearing from you later.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Bye.
Happy contrails.
Yeah.
Today, we have a very special guest, and he's one of those civilians supporting our military men and women around the world, and he is right here from Tucson, and I think some of you will recognize his name and his voice. Welcome to American Warrior Radio, Ben Bueller Garcia.
Boy, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel, John. What's the point of having a guest host if I have to still come in and work on a Sunday?
Well, I think you ought to jock for overtime pay or something.
Well, I want to go on the record. I don't like doing this. But thanks for having me on American Warrior, John. What an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, Ben, we've discussed this before, and I wish we had time to tell the story about when I brought it up. Well, I keep telling Ben, you know, and those of you who know him, he's one of the most humble, pleasant, funny people you'll ever met. Ever met? Yeah, and me too. And it just occurred to me that, and I've watched Ben for several years because we've been associated through several organizations, and it's all about the mission. And I've talked to people and say, "Now, tell me a little bit about Ben's background." Well, we don't know much, but boy, he sure makes a contribution. And so I told Ben, I said, you know, it's time for you to get over your debilitating humility and come forward and talk to us. So we're here, Ben, and I got a whole list of questions for you.
I'm doing it for you, John.
Thank you, sir.
And let me just, if I may, start off, because the whole mission of American Warrior Radio is to educate and inform those folks who never served. And I'd like to just wish fair winds and following seas to Senior Chief Special Warfare Operator Kyle Milliken, a Navy SEAL killed Thursday in Somalia. He's the first Navy SEAL we've lost in Somalia since the Battle of Mogadishu. And also condolences to the family of Master Sergeant Bobby Connolly. He's an Air Force defender, security forces. He survived 131 combat missions, but he died 2 days ago while participating in an international military combat skills competition. Just goes to remind our listeners that it's a dangerous business, even when someone's not shooting at you. And if folks would like to help out his family, set up a GoFundMe page for his memorial. Again, that's Master Sergeant Bobby Connolly.
Ben, that's great. And everyone, sign in on this. There are a couple of things I do want to ask you before we get into the meat of this whole thing. I knew you grew up in southern Arizona, or somewhere.
Well, yeah, I grew up somewhere. That's a good guess.
Yeah.
No, I grew up, my folks are missionaries, John, so I grew up all over the place, mostly in Latin America.
Oh, okay.
Initially, before coming to the States.
Well, you bring a lot of wisdom with you, I know that for sure. But I do have a question. You've accomplished a lot of really interesting things that you're very humbled to talk about. Obviously, you had some mentors or some people that you looked at and said, you know, they're doing this and this and this, and this is something I want to do. Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, like I said, my folks are missionaries, so I was raised in a sort of philosophy of service. And, you know, John, some people collect stamps or work on classic cars. I like helping other people, and I just choose to, in this context, to support the men and women of the military. That was not, you know, we didn't have military folks in my family growing up. I know I had an uncle that served in Korea. He'd served during the Korean conflict in Europe. He was drafted. But, you know, my family were farmers, politicians, and preachers. Not a lot of military contact. So this is something that developed a little bit later on in life for me.
Well, you've done it really well. So let's talk about a couple of projects you've been involved in town. One, as a casual observer, I think you had some involvement with the renovation of the Fox Theater. That is true, correct?
Yeah, what a joy. Herb Stratford and I, we were kind of getting to know each other in college. We'd go out and drink beers and sort of fantasize about the day we could renovate the Fox. And after I left the chamber, the time seemed appropriate, so we put a group together, and the group purchased the building, and now she's open again. And just, I'm the best acoustical theater west of the Mississippi River.
Well, for those of you out there in the audience, if you haven't been to the Fox, it's truly worth the time and effort. And for those of you who don't live in southern Arizona, it's worth an airplane ticket to come and see.
I tell you, John, the Fox, my one of my most successful failures ever, sticking in the military theme, when we were doing Navy Week years ago, I brought the Navy band in. We're going to have a concert at the Fox, sold out. But I could not get the playlist from the Navy band. I thought it was going to be like the Air Force band, kind of swing stuff. Turns out it's more Black Eyed Peas, sort of their rock and roll band.
Oh.
And okay, well, probably into the third song, the first 20 rows were vacant because folks weren't quite expecting that kind of music.
Well, we want to hear more about that. We got 5 seconds here until it's time for some intermission. Greetings. I'm John Esslinger, guest host, filling in for Ben Bula Garcia, who's sitting next to me here. And we've touched on a little bit of what you've done. But what I'd like to do, Ben, is I notice you have some notes there, and I'm sure I got a list of questions, but there's probably some things that you need to take this opportunity to discuss.
Well, I know it's not my first language, but I think you can stop saying you're filling in for me. I'm here.
Oh.
Right? You made me work on my day off, John.
But you just...
Hey, I'm just kidding. How fun is this? We get to do radio. It's actually quite
absolutely,
a joy.
Absolutely.
When you first approached me about this, I thought it was odd, but I get your point. What both of us do, and many others do, both in our community and around the country, in supporting the military, like I said, you know, the mission of this program, the reason Dave sit and started this program years ago was to educate the huge 99.5% of the population that never served so that they understand and they're sensitive to those issues. Certainly, you and I, with some of our involvement, were a little bit, I'd say, closer to it, but all the more reason why venues like this and mediums like this to get the message out to people is so important. I think in preparing for the show, after you asked me to come on, I was thinking back, okay, because I didn't have military in my family, not a lot of association until my brother joined when I was much older, but I'm thinking, where did that start? And I found a point, John. It was my junior year in high school. I did a book report, very small town, small library, and there was a book called 1000 Destroyed by Grover Hall Jr., and it told the story of the 4th Fighter Group in the Second World War. These guys, I mean, Kid Hoffer, just an amazing fighter group, amazing stories. And that, after doing that book report, I said, okay, I want to be a fighter pilot. Like, that's something you and I have similar.
Yeah.
We got the same size with the stature for fighter pilots. But, you know, this is a small high school. I think of only 9 people in my class even bothered to take the college entrance exams. I scored very high on the ASVAB. I don't know if they even have that anymore, the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Test. And when the recruiter came to town, I told him I want to be a fighter pilot, and he said, no, you wear glasses, that's off the table. Like your math scores, how about you be an engineer? And that was the end of my military aspirations from that point on. So I graduated when I was 17, and that year when I turned 18 was the year Carter first instituted the draft again. So I signed up for the draft, and, of course, Iran was popping. So I thought I'd just leave it up to Providence whether God wanted me to end up in the military or not. It never happened.
Well, I feel the same way you do, and I've made it my business since I flunked the physical so bad to go to Vietnam, and I really wanted to do that. And, of course, you know my story. It's similar to yours. And I think that's why we really enjoy each other.
You know, the short answer, when people ask me why I do this, I say I support the military because I never had to serve.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I started the show off this morning, I mean, we've got it's a very dangerous business, and I just want people to spend, so, you know, Memorial Day is coming up. Whether it's Memorial Day or any time, just spend 10 seconds, a minute, an hour thinking about these families and these men and women in their military. We've been in a shooting war for 20 years now, and just, you know, awareness is the first start of that. But I think when I got my first day job was working for the Chamber of Commerce, and I was one of the committees I staffed at the Chamber was the Military Affairs Committee. And that's when I started my awareness, my sense of what these family sacrifices started to grow. At the same time, my middle brother joined the Air Force, and he did pararescue initially for the Titan missile sites around here, but then he went into OSI, Operation Office of Special Investigations. And to this day, he's got a Bronze Star in his shadow cabinet, John, for a mission that he can't talk about. He refused to talk about. And so At that point with the Mac, my brother, I started to get a much better sense and growing sense of what these folks sacrifice and why it's even more important for us to step up and do what we can to support them. Like, you know, you said, give it your best at the start of the show. I think every one of us can do more of that.
So how did you wind up actually with this show? I know, but I'm sure a lot of people who've just joined us in the last year or two or three, they probably don't understand that.
Yeah, American Warrior was founded by Dave Sitton, there are many like him, but no, Dave was one of a kind. Our community will never be able to replace him. He started this show precisely because he had planned to go in the Marines, and he was on a baseball scholarship at the U of A, blew out his arm, so he couldn't become a Marine. So ever since then, he's committed to supporting them. He was running the American Warrior Radio. Like I said, he founded it. He probably had it on the air 5 or 6 years before I even heard of it. And we had known each other, and he knew about my contacts in the military, so he started asking me for guest suggestions, which led to co-hosting with him, which led to sitting in for him when he was running for Congress and he couldn't be on the air. And then when he passed away far too young and far too suddenly, I just felt so strongly about the importance of this message, I decided to take up the cause myself and keep the message going. So it'll be 4 years this December.
Wow, time flies. Well, one thing's for sure, the community's definitely better off that you kept this going. And I told you 1,000 times I'm proud to be associated with this. I have a whole list of other questions. You've had all kinds of guests, and and every one of them is memorable, obviously. But there has to be a couple or three or four that just was super special.
That Esslinger guy, he was, never have him on again. But yeah, John, that's like asking a parent who their, you know, which child they love the most. I was actually had someone last week's guest was asking about some of the past shows, and all the podcasts are archived at AmericanWarriorRadio.com, but we're talking 4 years of shows, so you really got to click back. And it made me think I need to figure out a better way to index that. I mean, I really truly mean it. It's what a joy it is, how special it is that we get to do radio. And it's kind of cool to talk to Gary Sinise or Joe Montagna or Don Collier. I mean, a guy that I grew up watching every week on TV or on the big screen, having him in the studio. I love NASA. I'm a huge fan of the Apollo program growing up. So having Jim McDivitt actually in the studio and talking to the commander of Gemini 4 and Apollo mission, that's really cool. Obviously, but it's the warriors, too. I mean, having the crew, the guys that did the Lone Survivor Rescue Mission who are local folks here, that was really wonderful. Sebastian Junger, one of my favorite interviews. Probably one of the best writers of our generation. Heartfelt, thoughtful, very touching guest. Of course, the World War II folks. Dick Cole, Colonel Dick Cole, the last of the Doolittle Raiders. Muriel Engelman, who was a nurse during the Battle of the Bulge, was fabulous. Doug Dillard, who's in the Army Intelligence Hall of Fame. Just all those folks, wonderful. Victor Brombert. Victor was they called them the Ritchie Boys. They were principally Jewish expatriates that were specifically recruited to do missions during the Second World War. And this guy's a poet. He had a way of describing the most brutal battlefield in words that made it almost sound poetic. He was a great guest as well. But the Friday Pilots, those guys are always a kick anytime I have them on. I don't even know where to start or where to stop on that list.
Well, I guess I'm going to quote Colonel Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Colonel Cole, he was a guest speaker at one of my events, and I think you had him on the show. Somebody asked him, what's your favorite airplane? This guy flew everything the Air Force had from World War II up to Vietnam, and he just looked very serious and said, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes. Now, the point is, I'm a big believer in the power of storytelling. So if they've got a good story to tell or they've got a good story I can help them tell, that's the kind of folks I want on American Warrior Radio. And like I said, I've been focusing a lot lately on some of the World War II and the Korean era folks because they're just passing on, and we need to get their stories recorded for posterity.
Oh, that's time is of essence. we've had a chance to do some interesting things together. We're both honorary commanders. When we get back from break, we got a minute. I want to talk about that.
Okay.
And you got something there you can fill us in for 56 seconds?
No pressure there. No, well, again, coming back to the point of this, we support the military because we never had to serve. Now, you're a little bit different because you were also never in the military, but you've seen combat. And I think that's the message that's important. As I interact with the military, and they're very embracing, they're very open, but I guess I can only equate it when I was fighting forest fires. You can describe it, you can see it on the big screen, but unless you've been in the middle of 5,000 acres of flame, it's not the same. The same thing with combat, you know. They take us in, they embrace us, but for those of us who've never been there and hopefully never will be, we can't understand, so we have to support them however we can.
Well, that really puts it in perspective, and I'm very pleased that you put it in that context. I'm John S. Linger, the host, filling in for Ben Bueller Garcia, since he's sitting next to me. You're listening to American Warrior Rodeo?
Let's do some rodeo.
Well, I must be from Texas. American Warrior Radio. Our call-in number is 520-571-1041. And, Ben, when I first met you, we met at Nellis Air Force Base at a special event, which is just a great story for some year. And I noticed that you had on a golf shirt, and it had Honorary Commander 12th Air Force. Boy, that grabbed my attention. The 12th Air Force, for those of you who are not in the Air Force and some other military service, it covers everything from the Canadian border to the...
It's changed.
Oh, it's changed?
Yeah.
Bring us up to speed.
Well, they've got bases mostly in the western U.S., but then they're also principally responsible for everything south of Mexico. So it's the 12th Air Force and then 12th AS South.
Oh, okay.
Caribbean, everything south of Mexico, down to the tip of South America.
Well, the important thing here, you are the honorary commander of the 12th Air Force. It's based here at DM.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the general in charge was a three-star general, General Rand. And I've been around a lot of generals in my life, and I know he's not listening, but he was one of the coolest dudes I've ever met.
John, he is one of the best people and one of the best leaders I've ever had opportunity to work with. He truly, truly is. He's a four-star now. He's in charge of Global Strike, and that... I've had a lot of cool stuff in life, but two of the greatest honors, one was being named the 12th Air Force Honorary Commander. Actually, General Spear selected me just before he retired, and Robin continued on with me. But the other was through my support of the USS Tucson, which is a fast attack submarine. Commander, or Captain Spear, was in town with some of his crew years ago, and we had a sort of a community dinner. And he called me up to the podium, and all of a sudden, the chief says something. All the sailors stand up in their quiets. They're standing at attention. And Commander Spear gives me a coin, shakes my hand, and calls me shipmate, which, if you know anything about the Navy, that's a huge, huge compliment. So that was one of the other greatest honors of my life, is actually being called shipmate by a submarine captain.
Well, I want to tell you a really quick story. I got to go on board the USS Mahon as a guest of the captain, and I was in my cowboy hat and my boots and jeans, and I was with a captain who was escorting us, and we were a guest of the four-star admiral of the Atlantic Fleet, and we were going on board. They whistle you on board, and I asked this captain. I said, "What do I do? I'm in a cowboy hat." and he looked at me and he said, "When the captain salutes you, you salute him back." So that's kind of a weird little highlight.
Turn and face the flag when you board and when you depart. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that really led to, or I shouldn't say led to, I was already very supportive of the military, but that term, the 2 years as honorary commander with General Rand, really cemented and I would say focused some of the direction, John, of where I wanted to go in my service and support for the military. I had this sort of joke when I run into people, you know, the cap in the USS Houston, whoever, I say, look, I'm a taxpayer. I pay for this stuff. I should be able to shoot or blow something up. And usually they cross the room really quick, give a funny look, and bye-bye. Well, I've been an honorary commander at the 12th Air Force for about a month. It was my first event, and I tried my typical line that usually frightens them off. And the colonel says, well, hell, son, we blow stuff up all the time. Why don't you come out and visit? He was a commander of the Red Horse Squadron, which is the combat engineers for the Air Force, sort of the Seabees equivalent in the Air Force. So I thought, okay. So I went up and paid a visit to them, and I thought, you know what? The Honorary Commander program is a great program, and I'd encourage anyone out there, talk to DM, talk to John or I. If you're a community leader and you're not prior military or you don't do business with the military, it's a great opportunity to get involved with. But as a commander or the honorary commander of the 12th Air Force, it was a little bit different than just having one squadron at DM. I thought, you know, I've got all these bases that I would like to be responsible for as well. So I tried to get out and visit as many bases as I could. I was out at Dyess. I was in Nellis three different times for change of commander visits. Got to spend a great day at Moffett Field with the rescue, pararescue squadron. The commander had arranged to take me up in a helicopter and fly me around, but I get there and says, we can't do that. I'm so apologetic. We can't. We had to cancel your flight. Well, it turns out the reason they canceled my flight is they're gearing up to deploy for Hurricane Rita, which turned out even better because I got to watch them actually do what they do as they're loading things up and organizing. Wonderful Holloman Air Force Base. I spent some time there. One of my favorite 12th Air Force stories, as I told you, I grew up overseas, so I still get a little bit squirrely when I pass through a Border Patrol checkpoint. I'm driving General Rand back from Holloman, and that's another learning experience. I just assumed that a three-star general got his own plane. They don't. That's how bad the budgets are. So he was anyway, long story short, I said, I'll drive out. I'll meet you. I'll drive you back from New Mexico. There's a Border Patrol checkpoint in the desert out there, in the middle of the desert along the I-10. And I pull up, and I'm rolling the window down. The agent looks, you know, he starts to say, are you a U.S. citizen? And I've got a three-star general next to me and a major in the back seat. And he says, oh, never mind. And we pull out, and I turn to General Rand. I say, can we go around and do it again? That was so much. I mean, just the look on that guy's face was so precious. Of course, Davis Monthan Air Force Base was part of that group, too. So, but in their going-away party, Kim Rand, General Rand's wife, they were very embracing and very friendly, and the camaraderie, you've seen it before. And at the going-away barbecue, when I had a few words to say, I said, you know, you're very friendly, and you welcome me as part of your family, but I'll never be one of you. And Kim was mortified. I mean, the look at her face, I think she took as an insult. But my point was, I, as embracing as they are, as friendly as they are, as supportive, and as much as they love us, John, as civilians, we'll never wear the uniform. We won't know. So we will never be one of them. And I don't mean that in an insulting sort of way. But that really, you know, there's only so far we can go before we're not, you know, we're not part of the group.
Well, I totally agree. And one of the things in a positive way, I take issue with when I participate in something, they always recognize honorary commanders. They say nice things. And when I say, man, I am so honored to be here, and then they're going, no, it's our honor to have you. Well, boy, that's pretty humbling.
Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, John, because I get that on occasion, too. They said, gosh, Ben, you're out here at the base all the time. You're supporting us. Your Tucson community cares. Employers, so you're everywhere. And thank you so much for doing it. But what they may not understand, and this is interesting from a civilian's perspective talking to the military, in my world, in business, in sales, in politics, in lobbying, it can really get you down. I cross paths with some dishonorable people. Disappointing. And I go out there to the base, and I see the honor, and I see the character, and I see the leadership, and I see the dedication. For me, it's like filling up my gas tank. I'm grateful for the opportunity to go out there and recharge myself by seeing these generations coming up that inspire me and make me feel better about things. It's those men and women in the uniform, both the leadership now and those young airmen coming up that are so dedicated to mission.
Well, it's kind of fascinating for me because I had my two tours in Vietnam, and as you know, I was not in the military, but I was very closely affiliated. And the difference that I see now and then, back then we had the draft, and there was two kind of folks. There was folks that didn't want to be there, and that's understandable, and then there was those really gung-ho folks. What I've, just like you, when I'm at DM, man, if they're not gung-ho, they're probably not there.
Right. Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think for civilians, you know, what's the joke? You go into a room of fighter pilots and ask who's the best pilot, and every one of them is going to raise their hand.
Yeah.
There is a certain amount of bravado that goes with the business. But you know what? In a game where the stakes are life and death, I want somebody. Somebody better be damn confident about their skills. I don't want someone who just wants to win. I want somebody who wants to dominate. Yeah. That's important. But overall, I would say of the people I've interacted with, the people I've had on the show, what is more common is a profound sense of humility, a profound sense of quiet confidence and dedication to the mission, to the concept of service above oneself, to the concept of working together for a broader goal. That's what I see more often.
Well, I totally agree, and that's one of the reasons I cherish every minute I spend at DM. Got anything else on your list?
Well, I think it's one other message I want to get across is that it's important for those, particularly civilians, and sometimes, you know, you cross paths. Look, distinguishing between war and the warriors, distinguishing between the horrible thing that is war and the human condition, which has been with us forever, and the men and women who are tasked to fight it. Very often the people that I've met that, you know, the folks who like war the least are the folks that have to go fight it. And so it's important for those out there maybe tuning in for the first time who aren't really supporters saying, you know, like the Vietnam era. It's not the people in the uniform that start wars. So make sure you keep a distinguishing difference and a broad line between wars and the warriors.
Boy, that puts it in total perspective. And that's one of the things that I've, just like you, the humility of these young people and even the older people. And some of them have this incredible sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over the top. And, of course, it's one of those things we can't describe it. You have to be there. But most people would look at that and go, boy, that wasn't very nice. Except it really has serious meaning.
But that's what I mean when you're not part of it. You have to be very careful about, you know, like the Navy SEALs, particularly the Special Forces guy, if they're not giving you a hard time, they don't really like you. And if you don't understand that initially, and of course, it's not my place to give it back. Because, again, I never wore the uniform.
That's correct.
I didn't earn that opportunity. I didn't earn that honor.
Well, we got about 30 seconds here before our next break. When we come back, I want to talk about the USS Tucson in detail because of two reasons. That is really a unique situation because there's no ocean in Tucson, and we have a submarine.
We got lots of beach, no ocean.
So we'll be back shortly, and stand by. I'm John Esslinger, the host filling in for Ben Bula Garcia, who's sitting next to me here. And this is American Warrior Radio.
You know, it made me think about, remember Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live? You say, good evening, I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not. I'm John Esslinger, and you're not.
Yeah, same here.
You know, John, I want to mention, too, I neglected one of my, in that difficult question about what your favorite shows, Hamayan. We did a show almost 2 years ago about the trouble that some of our Afghan translators were, you know, where they're stuck in red tape and couldn't get out and they're being hunted and murdered. And so I did that show, and then a couple months ago, we actually were able to have Hamayan, who is the subject of that show, Dave, they called him in English, the English language, actually on American Warrior Radio after arriving safely in the U.S. And what a joy to actually talk to him and have him on the radio.
Well, I listened to that one, and that took me back to exactly the same thing that happened in Vietnam.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Okay, now we're down to, we don't have much time left. Boy, this goes by quick. You are involved with the USS Tucson. And that's Tucson's own submarine. So tell us a little about the submarine and how all that comes together and how we can support that project.
Yeah, the USS Tucson is a Los Angeles-class fast attack submarine based out of Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Her principal area of responsibility is Westpac, the Western Pacific. I was appointed to by Mayor Miller when we were notified we were getting our own ship to the commissioning committee that helped raise the money to pay for the commissioning. We had some bucks left over after that, and so a retired admiral suggested we form the 770 Club, which is a support group for the crew and the families. And folks can go...
Explain what the 77 Club's based on.
770 is the ship's hull number. Okay. So that is the 770th submarine commissioned in the United States Navy. And so but folks can support it. It's, you don't have to be Navy. I'm civilian. I'm the first ever civilian vice chairman of the group. But you can go to 770club.org and support us. Basically, we know whatever the family or the sailors need, we bring the Sailor of the Year out here. Kind of host them to thank them for their service. We just had the captain. We try and get groups over to Pearl Harbor for change of command. So, once again, it's a lot of fun. On occasion, they might be able to take civilians out to sea. I've had the pleasure of going to sea on the USS Tucson, which is a kick in the pants. But at the same time, it's also a very learning experience. One time I had one of the ship's engineers here in town. He was talking to a group of school kids, and they asked him, what scares you the most? What's the scariest part of being on the submarine? And you'd think it would be an enemy torpedo, or and he says, no. He says, it's fire and hydraulics. And he kind of let that sink in for a second. He talks about, you know, on a submarine, everybody's a firefighter, because that's the worst thing that can happen when you're several hundred feet below the ocean. It sucks the oxygen. It kills you. So fire is one of their biggest fears. And then he said hydraulics. Some of the hydraulics on that boat, if that line breaks, it would literally cut a man in half. I mean, it'll poke a hole right through you just like a laser. And it's a very, very dangerous business there, again, when people aren't shooting at you. So that's part of the reason I say, you cannot pay me enough to go to sea on a submarine. So God bless the men, and now soon to be women, that are doing that.
So you went one time, but didn't you?
I had the honor of going out to sea on the submarine once, yeah, for about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay, so it wasn't, okay, I got you. There was...
When they keep you busy enough to where you don't think about the you know, and of course the depth they go to is classified, but it's very interesting. I mean, you figure 138 men in a tube about the size, you know, about as long as a football field, but full of equipment. 4 showers, well, 5 technically, but 1's the captain, so there's only 4 for the rest of the crew. I mean, literally, a guy gets out of a bunk, another guy gets back in. It's service, that's for sure.
That takes some special individuals.
And she's a beaut. She's won a number of awards. The second highest citation that a ship or a unit can get is the Navy unit combination, commendation, and the USS Tucson's won 4 of them. And there again, you ask them about it, they say, don't know, never happened. Can't talk about it. These are secret missions. Wow.
Yeah, that I really hate that because I want to know.
But thankfully, they won't tell us. Just like my brother, he still to this day won't tell me what that Bronze Star is for.
Okay, so when you get up every morning and you got your day planned, and you have several boards you're on. When you look at your day, how much of your day is involved with military?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I'd say either prepare, between stuff I do at DM or the MAC or the Community Cares Foundation or the Employee Support of the Guard and Reserve, I'd say about 4 hours a week at least actually out doing something, not including, you know, thinking about doing something, which is an important part of doing something, too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, last week I was out presenting an award at Citibank for ESGR's got a great award they give to employers who support the Guard and Reservists when they're deployed. So I had the pleasure of going out there and presenting an award. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been out there, but it's huge, hundreds of thousands of square feet, just desks as far as I can see. And they all gathered up to honor this supervisor who took good care of one of his reservists while she was deployed.
That's great. So now when you are out around and doing these things, do you get invited? Does individuals just know who you are and they call you, or is this something that there's some kind of protocol where if somebody wants Ben Bueller to do something similar to this, how does that work?
Well, that's all through my service, either as an honorary commander or as the president of the Community Cares Foundation, which supports the families of deployed airmen, or as a volunteer with the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve. So it's part of my duties, I guess would be a better way to put it.
Well, tell us about the organization that supports military families, especially when their mates deployed.
I'm glad you brought that up because I'm glad I didn't neglect that, because when you talk about one of the defining moments in reinforcing in my own mind why I do what I do, the Tucson Community Cares Foundation is all volunteer, was formed about 5 years ago, when the pace of deployments was really, really high. And it was very clear there was a gap in both the funding and the programs available. When a warrior deploys, the whole family deploys. And there was gaps in the funding available for the programs to take care of the families behind. And so we were formed as a group to help address those gaps in funding. It's a very broad-based organization. If folks need support, we're there to do it. And one of their regular programs is called Adopt a Bearman. So just before big deployment, we'll go out to a local attraction, the zoo, the Minnetonka Museum, someplace like that. The kids and the families get to enjoy the facility free of charge all day. But then we have a series of bears that the kids can build. They choose the kind of bear, they stuff it, gets a little Air Force T-shirt. But the most important part of it is there's a pressure-sensitive voice box that goes in each bear. And whoever's deploying, mom or dad, records a message on the box. So when their child misses them, they can hug the bear and hear mom or dad's voice. The very first event I was volunteering with, I was staffing that voice box tape. And we'd find out who was deploying, take them to a quiet room, show them how to use it. And here comes this family, mom, dad, three handsome little boys. And I said, okay, which one of you is deploying? He looks me in the eye, and he says, I'm going this month, she's going in 3 months.
Ooh.
And he said it, John, like I'm going down to the grocery store. No big deal. And as a civilian, I'm looking at this family of five. Dad's going to war. Mom's going to war. And he just, an accepted fact. And he said it as if it was no big deal. And I'm thinking, holy cats. There in one picture was why we need support these men and women.
Well, let me ask you this, since you brought that up, how can our audience support that?
Tucson Community Cares, just Facebook, Tucson Community Cares Foundation. We're always looking for donations. Because it's all volunteer managed, always looking for volunteers. Send us ideas. The thing I love about Community Cares is this is one of those small nonprofits where $20, $50, $100 makes a big difference. There's a rescue group that came back from a six-month deployment. They want to go up to Flagstaff and have a family retreat. They were short $500 on the fee for the camp they wanted to rent. So the Community Foundation filled that gap. The chapel needs $10,000 to do a retreat to make sure couples are able to reintegrate. And, the stresses that are put on a couple and a family while they're deployed.
Yeah.
So the chapel puts on a program to help them reintegrate. We help fund that. The Bearman, there again, TucsonCommunityCares.org they can find it on the web or Facebook is probably a better way to do it. Tucson Community Cares Foundation.
Excellent. Everybody take note.
We're
about out of time. Boy, that went by in 4 minutes.
We are.
But tell us what you think, in your opinion, of the community's opportunity to support American Warrior Radio and the military.
John, I'm really proud of what we've been able to do here. We're now at about 13,000 visitors to the website every month. We've got almost 10,000 downloads. The message is reaching a broader national audience, and I'd really like to continue that. So the most important thing is just tell your friends. The Tucson market has this still Arbitron. The rating system is using a very outdated system that basically says that no one listens to this show. So if you know anybody who's does the Arbitron survey, have them tune in and check our program. But back when we were getting numbers, we actually rated higher than a nationally syndicated show on another station. So spread the word. If you'd like to help us, send us show ideas. Love to do that. We've even set up a website, Patreon, Patreon, / American Warrior Radio. If folks would like to send us a couple of bucks, $2, $4 to help us spread the word. It's really taken off now. We're starting to get calls from publicists and Hollywood producers and folks that are calling us to get their folks on the show. So I'm very proud of what we're presenting. And just listen. Give a listen and spread the word.
Okay. Well, we only have a few seconds left. Ben, this is such an honor for me to be here with you.
Worst guest ever.
Well, I tell you what, I can't wait to see the best one. Based on that, you're just a special individual, and if you ever run into Ben, he's kind of like me. To see him in a crowd, you kind of got to look down a little bit, and he's one of the few people I can look straight in the eye with. But
well, John, thank you for the opportunity. What a pleasure to be invited on American Warrior Radio.
Well, it was my honor to have you, and everyone, it's been a pleasure, and we look forward to having you in the audience next week. John S. Linger, signing off with Ben Bueller Garcia.